You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Right. Go ahead.
Welcome to Section 30. Are you done laughing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 112. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I'm Rogue Schindler.
We have wrapped up a long weekend here on Risa of regional action. Our first edition regional just went down. Who was the winner of that tournament?
That was TK. Thomas Kimura took the top spot with his Cardassian deck.
Not enough people playing Dead End on Cardassia?
I guess not. I was. he had splashed a little capture and lots of guns and Corsari Rendezvous and
I think I played against the deck. I didn't get to play in the tournament since we had 10 people show up, which is just fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, 11 would have been better, but I think I played against that deck or a very similar version of that deck in the past. He's got a lot of people that special download guns. He's got just a lot of he's got Mavec, who reports the backwards compatible guy, lets him fetch a weapon.
Yeah.
So he's usually good against Denevian neural parasites. He solves the Cardassian mission, Cardassia Prime, and gets the telescope. And he's got two Cardassian region missions adjacent to Cardassia always. So he looks out the window at one, looks out the window at the other, and decides which one is easier and goes and does it, right?
Yep, that's pretty much what he did. And now that you mention it, I failed to put Dead End under Cardassia. The way his deck laid out, he had a couple of Bajoran-only missions, I think, just to... So I think he would just use using those because they're slow-span Bajor region missions, so that he could arrange... Because he was also running Terek Nor. And I think I didn't think about it long enough. I also play Bajoran, so I was more thinking of, crap, I'm going to go head-to-head against, you know, Bajor fighting for DS9, and I didn't think about whether or not he was playing Cardassian. And so I did not put the Dead End in the right spot.
I remember going into the regional back in Santa Barbara. I was going to put a Dead End in, and I completely forgot. And he ended up going with a completely different mission set. He was playing his hologram, so it didn't matter. But I was ready this time. I had one for him, and I didn't get to play. So
yeah, I
at least it would have made it work a little bit.
Yeah, I added one after you mentioned it because there were several decks that had obvious first mission choices, and so I was like, well, you know, and the combo always seems weak. You don't really get to, you have to make it dual and, you know, only have a couple of cards with it, but it was fairly effective.
I often try to make Dead End be my 13th dilemma. No, my 19th dilemma.
Ah, so you can just put it anywhere.
So I can just put it anywhere. Yeah. But it never works out that way.
Yeah.
It's too hard to cut down to 12 seed cards, much less 11.
I had a janky dilemma set. It was really abnormal for me. I was trying to add the Shades of Grey cards, or trying to use, several, not all of them, but, you know, if I was going to spend a seed slot on a Shades of Grey, I wanted to get as much use out of the cards that it beefs up as possible. And so...
Sure.
I ended up with really weird combos, like a couple of two-card combos and then a couple of four-card combos, just because that's the way they shook out. And
interesting.
It was cool in that, you know, my combos have become legendary and at stopping people, and so now they've prepared for them. And so sure, I was trying to come with different combos, and it was hilarious watching people going, okay, well, this is a space mission, and you've got that, so that means the next cards are going to be this and this, so I better make sure I bring that. And I got a kind of a giggle out of that. No, not a giggle, a chuckle. It's a manly Star Trek player.
Wow.
It was funny in that way, but some of the combos didn't shake out as well as I thought. I spent an extra seed slot on a classic combo just because it tickled my funny bone to have interphasic plasma creatures in front of Founder Secret. Since
awesome.
Enough people have to go the strength route for that.
And
that really slowed me down against you a couple of weeks ago, and I couldn't get my tricorder, and I was having to pull for strength, and then I just imagine how much it would have hurt me if all my people had been, you know, strength minus two.
Minus two. That's right.
And you know, it was funny. It hit a couple of times. Obviously, it was not very useful against TK. That was
no, because he saw it coming.
Well, no, because he had 18 guns.
Of course.
So, you know, he did see it coming, and then he didn't care. You know,
right.
He ended up sucking it up and failing just to see what was next, and then it was not a big deal. He got past that, and then didn't even roll parasites, and I think one guy died. Maybe
that combo doesn't do very much if you've got a lot of guns, because if you get a lot of guns, you get past the wall, and if you get a lot of guns, no one dies to the parasites.
Yeah, and then the last card was Hanoni and Landiel, thinking that I would kill half your strength, and then you'd have to build up more strength. But when, you know, only one guy dies, obviously he didn't have a problem with it, and a science managed to sneak through. So. And then, yeah, he did exactly what you said. He looked out the window one way and went, wow. Okay, my ship's going over here.
Yeah.
And then just redshirting against it.
Yeah, that's tough to beat. I mean, I thought of some other things to try putting in other than the obvious, you know, the dead end at his headquarters. You could throw in a disruptor overload. But he's got so much equipment, the odds of actually getting the telescope are so slim, it's not reliable at all. The other option I was playing, my deck had the Investigate Anachronism, the one with you know, the bellhop and
the bellboy
and the Mickey D, that can download the Chablidus. So you have to have extra archaeology to get an artifact.
Oh.
You can't just get the artifact.
Wow, that's a bit of a stretch.
And really, I think, doesn't Mavek have archaeology?
Yeah, I think he does.
Yeah, so he would have had it anyway. I mean, again, we didn't get to play. So who else did you get to play against? You said you were playing Bajoran, pretty much a Bajoran Resistance deck then?
Yeah, I played a straight-up Bajoran Resistance. I try to change things every time just so it's not cookie cutter.
It served you well in the past. Didn't you win, was it last year?
2 years ago.
2 years ago with the Bajoran Resistance.
And I think I took like second last year or something. Yes, I did. I took second last year with it as well. So I was like, you know, Bajorans always served me well. They were up. I had left them open as an affiliation slot for the season, you know, in case I needed to go to that for 1E. And it seemed like a good way to go. I thought about doing adding in the duck blind. Johnny had done that in Santa Barbara, and it kind of went back and forth, and just ended up feeling like actually the idea I really wanted to add, but I thought of it Saturday morning, and I was like, I'm not changing my deck Saturday morning. Since I kind of had a similar strategy to TK in that I was going to do Bajor and get Starry Knight to get the telescope and the earring, and then I had space missions on either side with the Bajor regions, and then I do one or either or both, and then I was moving the station back and forth to look at them, and I almost took out one of my planet, my random planet missions to throw in Mirror Bajor, just so I could use like the Intendant and Barile with a multi-dimensional transporter device and just beam back and forth from Bajor. And have a mission, have a ship at every mission, and go. You know,
just, interesting.
Not have to worry about range or moving, and just sit there and beam back and forth. And I, given the range issues I ended up having, I kind of wish I had done that.
Really, range issues? I mean, the Bajoran ships. I know that's their shtick in 1E is, or in 2E, is that they have no range, but. It was that much of a problem in your little region there?
Well, I don't know. I didn't use the interceptors. I was using freighters because they play for free, and I was trying to get more free card plays in there. And
right.
The deck has ballooned over the years after after you know, we had SoCal RBQ format, which was the old and jived with the old Tribunal of Q, where, you know, you just stack all your ref cards under Tribunal of Q, and that's like a ref tent.
Right.
Which I really miss and really wish that 1E would go back to something like that, because I still object to the fact that we have to have equalizer cards like that that are supposed to fix broken cards as part of card plays in our deck. Even the card cycling is not the same, because it delays you a turn. And more than once, I rough cycled a card to draw another card, and they ended up drawing another rough card. So it's just a lot of room, and I couldn't get my ready room doors. I threw in some Rennic Pyres with Bajoran Resistance? Bajoran Civil War.
Bajoran Civil War, yeah,
so
to fetch him.
To fetch him so that I would at least not have to use a whole card play on one of them. I could get two, or I could get him and General Hazar, a couple of guys that are useful. But, you know, I ended up going 2-2, and my two losses were, I want to say, fairly close. I felt like they were fairly close. TK beat me 100-0. 100-0? 130? I think I got a mission off. But it was much closer than I should have. It should have been. So, overall, you know, it didn't do poorly, but it didn't do as well as I was hoping. My opening with TK was actually, it made me think of, is it Soggy Amphibian who did the card narrative?
Yeah.
I almost wanted to do that with that opening, because it was fairly epic sort of combat over the station. I was playing DS9, so I got it first instead of his Terok Nor. And we both put our sights out, and I was being very careful to keep a couple of guys in ops, and you know, he played a couple of guys on the station, and I was like, okay, you know, I've got Morn, and I'm keeping a Bajoran with Morn, and I got my Stratagema, so, and I put my station at Bajor, so I was safe, and he drops Ilan Tandro. I had ops download for First Minister Skar, which is one of my draw engines. After he homefronted my Chamber of Ministers, which is another, I'm sorry, not draw engine, but play engine.
Ah, okay.
So one of my play engines, and then he homefronted my other play engine. So I was down to resistance people, and no way to draw them, other than end of turn card draws, which I was not getting because I was having to ops download to keep even with him. So he's like, okay, I'll come over and hang out at the bar with you. And so I used Morn to get a Latinum. Well, he came over and used Ilan Tandro's once per game capture a guy, and captured my freaking First Minister car. So that was obnoxious. So I used Morn to get a Latinum to get a Bajoran rifle.
Did he just pull the Ilan Tandro on the first turn, or was
yeah,
he curious?
Yeah, he just got him early.
Wow.
He pulled it, and you know, his VIP had a VIP guest quarters, dropped him. Walked over, and I was like, all right, fine. Well, I got my big rifle, and I've got three, like, I think I had 2 8s and a 9 with Kira and another like Pharrell and a rifle, and so they were all like 11s and 12s, and I managed to kill two of his three people, but I could not kill Security Chief Garrick, or was it regular old Garrick? Garrick? He had a Garrick.
The Tui Garrick?
No, he ended up persona swapping for the Tui Garrick later, which was funny. I think he got Security Chief Garrick because he downloads a gun.
And he had a lot of that.
And then, so he had a gun, and that made him just out of reach, so I couldn't kill Garrick before they went away. I mortally wounded one, I stunned another, and then I Garrick was fine, and then I killed a random one, and so he still had some guy to escort his captive over to his ship that was on his way over. Got on his ship at Bajor, and then undocked. I was like, okay, cool. And then I got I got a ship, even though it was I had my one assault vessel. Ops downloaded it. Got my two guys on it. And I was like, between that and my battle bridge door, which I only had in for damage dilemmas, but ended up being kind of useful for combat, and the station, because the station can fire.
Yeah.
I can totally blow them away, and they'll kill Shakar, and I can play another Shakar. And then I was like, oh, I'm leaving. I left Kira in ops. I want her on my ship because the Bajoran tactic gives you a double bonus if you have somebody who has resistance and navigation.
Oh.
Which was dumb. I shouldn't have even thought about it because between the ship, the station, and a tactic, even without the bonus, I was fine. I was going to obliterate him. But I did that, and instead of swapping places, I just added her to my ship. And so Rom's sitting there in ops going, what button do I push? And I attacked, and then TK's like, yeah, I think you have to have a dude in ops before you can fire with your station. And I was very sad.
Right, no leader, no adding to the total.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I damaged him, and I killed some guys, but he had more guys, and then he got away. So I was really bummed because it was kind of cool, but I had multiple chances where I feel like I ought to have been able to stop him, and I just, one of them luck didn't go my way, and the other one I was dumb, and then he ran away and got 40 points off a friggin' prisoner. What's the backwards compatible?
The one that was in Legacy?
It's the premier, just the prison compound. No, that's the one. Oh. I think that's the one you mentioned already. Labor camp.
Yeah.
10 points a turn.
Is that the one that has the problem?
Probably.
Because in Tui, it says you play it on a planet mission. So yes. You have to play it on a planet mission that isn't a headquarters. But since homeworlds are planet missions in 1E, you can play it on your homeworld.
Exactly.
Whereas in 2E, you'd have to play it somewhere else.
Yeah, so kind of lame.
Yeah, it's a problem.
And you just have to have it. You don't even have to have a captive there. You just have a captive. So if you have a guy sitting at home, and you have a captive anywhere.
Oh, that's right, because in 2E, your captive's just sitting in your nebulous brig somewhere.
Yeah, they don't go to your brig like 2E. They just, you have to escort them around or something, and, at least with the... If you have the station and the holding cell, you have to move into a holding cell before you can download torture or download, whatever punishment cards you want. But, yeah, that's one that needs to go on the list of conversions, I think, because it's a little way too easy to do in 1E versus what it's supposed to be, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of way to get 10 points, but not 10 points guaranteed every turn like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't even have to have them out somewhere where you can conceivably get them back.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good. Well, how did your other games go?
I went fairly well against... I played Steven in the first round and won. And then
he was playing a Starfleet deck, right?
Yeah, he was playing Starfleet, and he he had the problem with Starfleet that I have, which is, you know, I keep wanting to play them, but I watch them and they just, you know, they play two cards and then they draw, you know, draw eight and then play two and then draw eight more and play two. And,
right.
You know, they don't have anything else they can really do. So I was able to get ahead of the curve on him a little bit and get through my missions quickly. But the other thing I learned against TK, which ended up benefiting me in my game against Johnny, was that I kept staring at that stupid home front going, man, I don't want to waste four turns downloading security guys and not drawing any cards. I'll just hope I draw resistance people to play for free. But I forgot that I have not only one but two dual security people in my deck, which I discovered really late in the game against TK. So when I sat down against Johnny for the third round and he dropped a home front on me, I went, okay, card play will be home front security download for Odo, and I will discard defend homeworld to get Kern. I have four security.
Huh.
Yeah. So I was like, wow, that was a lot less of a headache. You know, it was still an extra turn, but, and I had to devote resources that I would have used on other things, but.
Does four security mean four security personnel, or just four security times four?
I think it just says four security.
Right. It says four security. Does that mean security times four, or does that mean four security people?
Well, there's not a.
It doesn't say four security personnel, I guess.
Yeah.
Huh.
So I was like, well. So that was helpful, although it still didn't matter because Johnny was playing Bajoran. He was playing Bajoran Cardassian, which was a cool combo. He forewent the Chamber of Ministers in favor of the Central Command. So he had... it was actually a really good combo. I've been kind of toying with it, but I wanted to play all solo affiliations first. It's he used... just resistance. He had Bajoran resistance, so he could use the espionage cards and play resistance for free.
Mm-hmm.
He skipped the chamber and Shakar in favor of playing gulls for free at Central Command and having support personnel, endless support personnel.
Ah, yes, the endless support personnel. That's pretty good. Was TK doing that too?
Yeah, he was eating them with Kroll Maset, which Johnny was not.
Oh. Okay.
But it was really cool. Among other unexpected benefits, very good against the arsenal dilemmas, because he had enough universal people waiting around that splitting up his uniques did not hamper him as much. He actually hit one, got stopped, and then went over with a full universal crew to get past it later, which was pretty cool. But he, because we shared, he had four Bajor region missions, I had three, and I could not pull a Bajor region early when we played missions. So my three other missions came out first and, you know, got clumped together, and he, meanwhile, got all his Bajor regions. So he basically got the line up, the space was like, okay, well, I've got these, and I'm going to put you as far away from your other missions as you can. As you can get, and then I had to,
sure.
And then I played all my duplicates, so you know, I was surrounded. I was surrounded by, you know, double dilemmaed missions, and my other missions were far, far away. So,
wow, you know, it's funny because back in the day, you could seriously lose the game in the seed phase by going first or going second or whatever. Sounds like a enough overlap, I kind of think it still happened.
Yeah, I ended up... I figured my only advantage would be to try to get my telescope to look at the cards under one of the other crazy missions.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, screw it, there's eight dilemmas under there, but I don't care, I'm just going to beat my head against Bajor. And it just ended up not being... You know, I lost some guys, and then I couldn't get past something. I could not draw one of the skills I needed to save my life, and it turned out the Acquire List of Explosives only had two under it from me and only two under it from him, and that computer skill combo is not nearly as hard. if I don't actually play the access denied on it, and if my opponent doesn't know that it's there or have access denied in their deck to download it when I attempt.
Uh-huh.
So that actually helped me.
You were able to rip through that, huh?
So I did that, and rip through was probably an exaggeration, but I managed to squeak through.
Well, let's say you didn't need 5 computer script personnel. You only needed 3?
Yeah. And I could, you know, keep them. You know, I actually had somebody with 2 computer skills, so I got past the first one.
Oh, yeah.
Without
there you go.
Being stopped, and then, you know, hit one of his dilemmas, and then... So that I think that was my only mission against him. He would have had a full win against me, except I got a really great random selection. I can't remember. It was some dilemma, stop one guy randomly, helpless.
Yes.
I managed to, it was the dilemma that downloads those and helpless. I managed to get Odo and then friendly fire, and he had 1 security after I stopped Odo. And so and then we ran out of time.
Take the luck, huh?
Yeah, so I was like, I mean, he still got the timed win, so. And then my last game was against Aaron, who was playing Terran Empire a little to his disadvantage.
Since you knew his deck better than him?
Yeah, kind of like me playing Bajoran against Johnny. I was like, well, you know, you can do that. Oh, you know, you can do that. Or I was like, yeah, I'm getting to it. Or, oh, I can. I kind of knew where the linchpins were, which are not many, but as he played cards, I kind of picked and chose where I was going to hold my line. And,
sure, yeah.
It was still very close, thanks to a ridiculous, obnoxious trying to get past Delrock, dealing with McCracken assery.
Just because we haven't... Well, okay, never mind. I'm not going to make any comments.
No, that's fine. It's fine. You know, I've gone and I've read, you know, looking at random dilemmas, especially when... everybody's wondering what I'm talking about. I hit a Delrock, and it affected me in a way that neither of us thought. You know, we both said, well, I think it could read this. Well, I could think it reads that, and it's like a combination of the two, because... You know, you shouldn't be able to read a dilemma and know how it works just from the text on the card. That would make no sense at all. Certainly not in 1E. And there.
So, you had the gist of it was you have to have the 150 from one crew or away team instead of everyone there.
Yes, but the kill
can be from anyone anywhere, regardless of where.
Which is bogus. If you can kill me anywhere, then I should be able to give you my attributes from anywhere. But so that was just lame, but also annoying because I had to, you know, we spent, you know, 5-8 minutes dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that really dragged out the rest of my game just trying to get, and it was of course at my station. So I had to sit there and I could still play cards, but then I had to go get them and come out, move away. And, thanks to devoting a lot of resources to special downloading equipment and getting all my guys together, I was able to get past it. But I don't envy anybody. That's obviously why it hasn't been done, because nobody wants to sit there and go through every dilemma in 1E and rewrite that document. But man, she was smoking something when she wrote some of those, because I know we've had rulings where similar things happen, but even more extreme, where we're like, well, it says this, and I really think it could be either this or it could be that. And both players have gone, yeah, I could see either of those interpretations being right, just depending on the way you read it. And you go and read her, the dilemma resolution guide, and it's like completely out of left field. No. You have to download a Klingon Batleth, and your Federation and Romulan people have to fight to the death with it. That's how that happens. So, another victim of the dilemma resolution guide randomness. But it was otherwise a fun game. It was always nice to see somebody other than me playing Terran Empire. And it was interesting to see how different people approach it, and I'm always interested in getting, seeing new ideas to steal from my deck.
Very good. Well, congrats to TK for taking the tournament. Do you happen to know who came in second? I think I do. I think it was it TV?
TV, I thought.
Yeah, the two Thomases came in first and second.
And then Johnny?
Yeah. All the locals represented very well.
Yeah. And we had Aaron and Carlos and Chris Donati came down from Santa Barbara, which was nice. Helped round out the crowd, so we had a full 10.
Yeah, and Steven 11. Sanders from
Steven Sanders
was in town for the summer.
So lots of regular, all the regulars, and then a few irregulars, which was nice.
So Thomas and Thomas will have buys into Continentals, which happens to be here. So maybe think for the first time they can actually take advantage of the regional win.
Yeah, that'd be cool. And then we got to play Tribbles too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we played Tribbles afterward. And my deck won, but I wasn't playing it.
And I lost because Dan...
I'm a poor player.
...is a poor player.
I don't know what was going on. I think it was the end of a long day, and I was distracted. Someone played a score on me, and I wasn't thinking. I was so excited that...
You top-decked
a score for 1,000. You played a 10,000 poison... and didn't poison me, and I was next, and I drew the 100,000, and I was elated that you didn't poison me and get the 100,000 points, and that I was going to be able to play this 100,000 and get 100,000 points. And I didn't realize that the person who played the score on me was going to get the 100,000 points.
And the person who played the score on you happened to be in the lead by, like, 200,000 points. And yep. I went out in the last round with a lot, and it was... enough to catch up to him within 600 points, I think I was short.
It was pretty close, yeah.
It was even the three digits. It was that close. And so that 100,000. Kingmaker.
Yeah, not paying attention and didn't want to invoke take backsies. But like I said, it was a long day. Even though I'm actually glad... In a way that I wasn't playing because it's 1E, so you know I was sitting in the corner making promos, but I didn't get much work done because it was standing up and walking around and answering questions and looking things up in the glossary and the OTF rules to see who seeds first with duplicated missions and what exactly happens when, and it was all over the place.
Lots of rulings to make with 1E.
But, you know, it's an old game with lots of rules, so that's what you expect. Everybody seemed to have a good time. I don't think anybody walked away with, you know, that dread of, I spent all this work putting together a 1E deck, and I don't want to play it for a long time. Did you come away with any bad experiences?
No. I mean, just the DRG thing was a little annoying, and you know, mm-hmm. it's another... example of, man, every time you play 1E, it's changed or different or again. You know, but that's the problem. You go with the what makes sense on the card, or you know, the Trek sense, which you were supposed to once upon a time be able to use, or this random document that gives you something to do with all the dilemmas, though it may have absolutely no relation to what is written on the card. But, you know, it was one thing amongst a bunch of stuff. I wish I had made a few better decisions against TK in our early game. But aside from that, it was a fun tournament, and I was glad to see everybody come out.
Well, had I played, I had an Enterprise E deck put together. Now, this was not the Enterprise E deck that I would have submitted for our own tournament, because I was running it with Sona as the other affiliation, so that really doesn't count. But we actually had entries. There you go. Yeah, a long week. Entries into our contest for what should Dan play with Enterprise E when he plays Enterprise E? What affiliation to pair it up with? We've got no title needed, which looks like. Helmut Arbiger's what is this?
Romulan Federation?
Yeah, yeah. I see a drone control room.
The first of two.
And a lot of Romulan personnel, so it wasn't just the control room. So that's nice.
Yeah.
Cardees, with two capital E's and Cardees.
Yeah.
By Comdecker. This was Cardassian. I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. How would you like a trip to Romulus? This is Stuart Marsh's Enterprise E and Romulan Tal Shiar deck. That's pretty cool. I like that. And the deck that Matt brought to the tournament, which was called Enterprising Young Men, he mashed up Starfleet and Enterprise E.
Yeah, he sent me a bunch of cards to bring and borrow. And I was like, how are you going to play Starfleet and Enterprise E? How are they just going to work together? I don't understand. But I guess he used one to redshirt and one to solve?
It sounded like he was using Starfleet to jump in front of the Enterprise E, because they've got a lot of certainly have got a lot of skills and burn through all the dilemmas. He was playing Patrol Neutral Zone. So it was pretty much a one or two mission win, or well, I guess two mission win. But if anyone entered the neutral zone, the Enterprise E would hang back while the Enterprise with no attack restrictions, or, you know, not Federation attack restrictions, would just go wail on him. the ridiculous size, you know, because of all the command stars.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's funny.
Interesting trick.
Yeah.
After the tournament was over, he told me that no one was playing with Wake of the Borg, even though he had a couple reaction control thrusters to move his outpost out of the way in case Borg showed up. But
that's too bad.
Interesting
I had
deck. So that would have been fun. just to watch his station keep ducking out of the way and ships and everything.
All right, I'll cycle it. I'll play it again.
Yeah, exactly. But it seemed like a good deck. Out of these four, which of these is most interesting to you? Which one would you try to throw together?
I was already kind of thinking a Fed Cardassian deck would be interesting with the Clystron Outpost, and I think Comdecker's deck is looking pretty solid. So I think I would probably try that one.
I really liked How Would You Like a Trip to Romulus? I think the Tal Shiar, the Enterprise E, the whole, you know, Nemesis vibe.
Yeah.
I really like that a lot. There's no Scimitar in here. I think I'd have to throw one in just because it's
just on principle.
It's scary coming down the space line at you. But there's a lot of good stuff in here. I like the Dideritic Advance. I like the Prometheus. That's just brilliant. Go back and forth based on what you need.
Yeah.
And do you? I mean, just looking at this. Okay, you can't see the Federation Romulan Treaty without playing the Open Diplomatic Relations.
No, that's unfortunate. Obviously, the game was different when that card came out, but I really felt like that card should download a treaty instead of let you see. That's like two seed slots.
Yeah, that's pretty rough. And it's funny. I was making a ruling, walking from one side to the other, and I saw a card in someone's hand that caught my eye and thought, wow, yeah, this is regional and someone's gonna get hosed. But I didn't hear it get played.
The devil?
I saw a devil in Johnny's hand.
Oh man.
Well, it's funny because he was playing the treaty.
Yeah.
That he would have to go fetch.
That's probably what made him think it.
Yeah. That would have been rough. But I didn't get a chance to ask him if he got to use it.
Wow.
I don't know if anyone else was playing a treaty deck but him.
The devil's not banned, huh?
Well, it's rarely used.
Is there something that there's a card that affects it, doesn't it?
If you have the Open Diplomatic Conference relations, you can go fetch the treaty again.
Oh, okay. But if you're using like Bajoran Federation that seeds are by itself. And that gets canceled. Oh, ha, ha, ha.
Your problem. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's
funny. I just can't imagine spending a whole turn with all the people, half the people on your ships under house arrest. You can't do anything. You can't move your ships. You've got to spend all your resources to get that card back and then play it again on the next turn so that, what a mess. Awesome card play. I mean, it would have been great.
It would have been interesting just to see the look on somebody's face.
Yeah, yeah. But what I don't like about this How Would You Like Drippy Romulus is it's a 98 card deck. Yikes! I mean, there's only two cards that are in multiple more than two. There's 9 Ready Room Doors and 11 Q's Tents.
Oh, wow.
So it's not a crazy hexany.
I don't even think I have 11 Q's Tents.
it's printable, so you're okay. yeah, that's a big pile of cards right there.
Yeah, it is. A lot of downloading.
And it also uses lots of neutral zone missions, 2 patrol neutral zones.
Isabella. That's funny. Get out of here.
You're looking at Matt's deck?
No, this is Trip to Romulus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think Matt told me he had one in there, too.
Yeah,
just in case.
Nebula.
Nebula, yeah. And that's Patrol Neutral Zone, right?
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Well, he's got 2. And then a couple of other Neutral Zone missions. Oh, I guess there are 3 Neutral Zone missions. 1 backwards compatible.
Yeah, I like that. So I think we will probably be sending out a little award to the 4 of you who submitted a deck, and specifically, I like the Romulan deck. You like the Cardassian deck. I think you know what? That would be fun to build them in Lackey and see how they do against each other.
Oh yeah, we might have to do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what I want is an export button on the deck list to make a Lackey file.
Oh my god, I would love that so much.
What do you prefer to build in Lackey or in the Trek CC deck builder?
You know, I really confused myself preparing for regionals because I would do both. You know, I already had my deck in deck builder, and so I copied it and started modifying it. But I built it then into Lackey so I could do test draws before I actually built it with hard copy cards, so mm-hmm. I wouldn't have to, you know, take stuff out and put stuff away. I just wanted to pull out the cards I was going to actually use. But yeah, I would make changes in Lackey, and then I would like, oh wait, I forgot to put that in Deck Builder, and then I would move some stuff around in Deck Builder, and then I would forget. I don't know. I am a huge Skill Matrix fan from way back. I used mm-hmm. to do that on, you know, pen and paper, especially when making 1E decks, because if you're missing a skill, you can be completely shut down in 1E. In 2E, you may suffer some consequences, but you can really get shut down, like 100% out of it if you're missing a skill in 1E. So I think that gives me an edge towards the deck builder, just so I can keep tabs on what I've got and what I need to fill in the gaps.
There's a program, and I'm trying to remember what it is and what it does. It analyzes your Lackey deck and compares it to Jeremy's old skill matrix thing.
Oh.
And tells you what you have and what you're missing.
Nice.
I'll have to look into that. Because it does something similar, but you're right. There's no deck statistics button in Lackey.
Yeah. And then I also like that you can search, if you don't know the exact title of the card you're looking for, or you forget to hit the percentage button because the card you're looking for is universal,
mm-hmm.
or you forget to put a space before the universal and the card title, then it can be really harder, much harder to find cards in Lackey.
I go back and forth. I find that if I'm looking for a particular type of card, sometimes the check boxes and the expanding selections and then minimizing using the contains or does not contain on Lackey, I find that easier. But I don't know, that I also like the big search engine that opens up in the other window and all the cards just get shunted to the deck builder and then you can just look at them individually. That's kind of cool too.
Yeah, I think there are advantages to both, but I think I would probably prefer to do the whole thing in Deck Builder and then be able to hit a, like you said, hit a button and have a deck, you know, have it show up in Lackey form. That would be, oh.
And you know what? In that way, I'd be able to take a look at the deck at home. I'd be able to take a look at the deck on the road. Maybe sometime at work, if I had a few minutes free, take a look at it. It wouldn't matter if I didn't have my Blackie with me.
Right.
I could look at it on the site, and that would probably be the best. So points for being in the cloud. Very good.
So thanks to Stuart and Helmuth and Matt and Comdecker for all participating in the Enterprise E contest, and we'll be sending you some goodies. To everyone else, so we hope you are having fun playing with the new TNG movie era folks, and come up with your own combos. But with that, I think we're just about out of intelligence for this week.
Yep, we've got a week, 2 weeks, and then the regional in Santa Barbara? Or is it 3 weeks?
You're right. 2 weeks. We have the pizza party this weekend?
Next weekend.
So 3 weeks.
So we got a little bit of a gap.
So, yeah.
Perhaps we'll have a little side game here or there just to keep our 2 week going, because we've got that regional. It's going to be a long road trip up to Santa Barbara.
Indeed.
Have you already got a deck picked out? I know you have a limited number of affiliations left to play.
Yeah, and I have it down to 2, I think.
Nice.
So that should make decisions a little easier. How about you?
I have no idea. Well, I just clicked on my achievements. I can play Alliance. Wait, no. There's point 2E. I haven't played DS9 yet, which means I could go the route of, any of the non-aligned style decks with Androids. And
hey, DS9 itself is pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't played Ferengi yet either. That might be
DS9
fun.
Is really pretty good.
I really wanted to try that Ferengi shuttle drop deck, but I just couldn't get it together.
Oh, the 1E.
And in 1E, yeah.
Yeah,
front shuttle. So... looking down the list, that's pretty much it. I could try Romulan, but I haven't had much success with Romulan in 2E in forever, so I maybe...
Dinatra's pretty hot right now. Could,
maybe I can put that... DS9. What a Captain's Log deck. Haven't played that in a while.
That's pretty solid. Yeah, now you've got some defense for your Captain's Log. With the defensive upgrades.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to think about that. I could either do that, or I could jump in that Ferengi deck. You remember when Franklin used to play with us a lot, and he had that Ferengi deck that he would just play as a default if no one else brought him a deck to play?
Yeah.
I had built that and thought I was doing pretty well with it. In fact, I think the times that I lost, a lot would be when I brought a deck for him to use, and then he would in turn beat me with it. It was lots of counters, lots of playing people, and then stopping them all to draw cards, and then pitching that rule, and then going off and doing stuff, and attempting 2 or 3 missions at once. That was fun, too. I'll try that out.
Well, you've got some options.
Yeah.
Well, if any of you are going to be in the Santa Barbara area... on the weekend of June 4th, Saturday, whatever the first Saturday in June is. If you're in town, they're going to be having a special tournament because Kevin Reitzel, former Decipherian, is going to be in town, and they're going to have a Beat Kevin Day.
Kevin volunteer for this?
I think he did, from what Chris claims that he did. It's going to be a bounty. They're going to be... It's going to be a regular tournament. There will be regular prizes, but there will be special prizes for whoever ends up getting paired against Kevin. If you can defeat him, it's defeat the Decipherian. If you can beat him, then you'll get a special prize. And if you don't, then he will get it and lord it over you.
Nice.
So I am, unfortunately, I think, one too many for transport. Really don't want to try to cram five into TK's car for that long drive.
It's a long way to go.
But we will have a San Diego contingent in town to represent Southern Risa. And if anybody else is going to be in town or in the area and you want to come and play and challenge Kevin, then you should come out.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Speaking of special prizes, I found something else to throw into the Continental Pool. I found an All Good Things set.
Ooh, like the, was it a pack of cards or was it the whole, the box with the...
I got the shrink-wrapped pack of cards. Oh, one of everything.
Wow. That's,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Still pretty good.
So make some arrangements. Fly out and take it from one of the San Diego people.
That's right.
Because I don't want to face another Kobayashi Maru.
July 17th.
Yeah.
That's the weekend of July 17th. So if you are thinking about it, if you're coming out for Comic-Con, come out early. If you're not coming out for Comic-Con, you should come out to Continentals instead. And we'll have some fun in the sun, play some Star Trek, and get some prizes.
Very good.
In the meantime, we'll give our shout-out to TK and Warp 11 because they both rock, but in very different ways. I am Sir Rogue.
And I am Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to expand your power of the universe.
And I will draw 112 to end.
You're a double agent, but they know. And you'll be double-crossed by the double O. You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot detect.